God doesn't always intervene in every hard circumstance and make it easy. And I don't always understand his ways. He's God. I can't explain or understand him because his ways are so much higher than our ways. If you put up the second PowerPoint, many times this is our plan and this is God's plan. We're like, God, this is going to be so easy. Like, I see your will for me and I'm just going to go there and it's just going to be a straight shot. And God is like, you have no idea, you know? But this is the thing, is that when we are in the boat in a river going somewhere that we didn't ever expect to go, are we still saying, God, your plan more than my plan? Because honestly, that is when our surrender and commitment is tested. Like I said, it's easy to say, God, I love your plan and I want your plan, as long as his is parallel with ours. But when his veers from ours, then is when we have to decide if we're still willing to stay in his plan. His plans are perfect. And sometimes it's hard to see, like, God, why does it seem like we always have to do things the hard way? Many times, because if we take this way, we will not learn what we need to learn. You know, if we just, like, if God just sent us where he wanted us to go, we don't learn. Now, the Israelites, sometimes we make it hard on ourselves. Sometimes God's way is easy and we make it hard. Like the Israelites, God's plan was not for them to spend 40 years wandering in the desert. His plan was for them to leave Egypt, cross the Red Sea, go into the Promised Land. They were the ones that with their stubbornness and disobedience and refusal to obey God's plans, that they ended up in the wilderness wandering for 40 years. We have a choice. And so sometimes we find ourselves going through all of these hard things because we refuse to submit to God and to his plan. And then people say, well, that was probably God's plan from the beginning. No, it might not have been. Sometimes we make things hard on ourselves. Now, sometimes God does take us through things like David. God anointed him as Samuel the prophet anointed David as king. And then Saul started trying to kill him. Not too long after that, he killed Goliath and everybody loved him. And then Saul got jealous and tried to kill him. And David ran for years of his life. But during those times, God taught him how to lead. And so we can choose to walk through him. David went through a lot even while being in the plan of God. And sometimes when we're struggling, it's hard to see God's plan. But know that you're not alone. Many have struggled. David struggled. And yet in 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 3, we're going to read what he wrote. The next chapter in 2 Samuel was David's last words that were recorded. But this psalm is also, or this, these words are also recorded in Psalm 18. It says, then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. We don't realize that God is our deliverer until we need deliverance. And we want God to make life so easy that we never need him to deliver us. But the truth is, when we go through things and we find that he is our deliverer, even if it's not in the timing or the way that we want it to be, we can recognize, God, you are my deliverer. But we have to continually look up and not look at the circumstances, because many times people get lost in the midst of the circumstances. Why? Because the circumstances will distract us from looking at God. We have to continually make a constant choice to look at God, to focus on him, to focus on the fact that he is good, to focus on the fact that his word is true, to choose not to look at the things that we don't understand or don't like, because many times the circumstances that we're in, we don't understand. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Because we don't always understand. But David said, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. How did David say all of this? Because of all that he went through. And how he kept over and over and over finding God faithful. But David was a worshiper. Many people wonder, how did David come through all that he did? Now, David made some mistakes. But the beautiful thing about God is God does not define people by their mistakes. We define people by their mistakes, but God doesn't. David is called the man after God's own heart in the New Testament after he sinned with Bathsheba in the Old Testament. Because you know why? In Psalm 51, he repented. Eve is called the mother of all living, not the one who brought sin into the world. You know, often we define ourselves by our worst mistake. And yet what we can define ourselves is by when the most of God's grace poured into our lives. And when we will choose in our hardest moments, just like David did, to worship him because he is worthy, not because we feel him, not because he's doing what we want, not because we like the circumstances we're in, but because he is God and he is worthy. He will teach us that he is our stronghold, that he is our refuge, that he is our deliverer, that he is our strength, that he is our salvation. God always has a plan, and those who choose to walk his plan will reap the benefit of his directions and teaching and ultimately his blessing. Psalm 18, 20 through 22, David wrote, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me." Notice he said, I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have attended to, I have taken heed to myself to keep the ways of the Lord. Right after that, he says in verse 22, for all his judgments were before me. That's how we keep the way of the Lord, is we keep his judgments before us. Throughout the scripture, and in Joshua, it says, meditate on the law day and night. The more time that we spend focusing on God and his word, and like Pam talked about in Sunday school, put Christian radio on. We spend a lot of time filling our head with nonsense, and then we wonder why we struggle so much to serve the Lord. What we put into our heart and mind will strengthen us or will weaken us spiritually. And so we have a choice. As Christians, we need to make a constant choice to choose to focus our attention on the Lord God, to keep his word in our mind. I would challenge you, if you don't have time to have all of your devotions in the morning, get a scripture, read it, and determine, okay, Lord, I'm going to think about this scripture every time that I have a free, you know, that I can, I'm going to think about this scripture. The Bible says, meditate on the word. So like you can think about the scripture, I can do all things through Christ. What does that mean? Lord, and throughout your day, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And just begin to meditate on that word and let it begin to teach you. Even when you're at work, even when you're changing diapers, even at home, even when you're cleaning the house, even when whatever you're doing might not be spiritual, we can make that spiritual time by connecting with Jesus throughout the day. When we do that, he will make our way perfect. Psalm 18:32 says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Do you know that God can intersect our plans? And he can use us to intersect others and to show them his love. The word intersect means to cross. God sometimes, as I said earlier, leaves us in ways we don't expect. But God's way is always the best way. Even if it seems the long way, even when it seems like it's the wrong way, we never do ourselves any favors by taking shortcuts. I have had many times in my life where I was waiting for something and I thought, God, like, what are you doing? You know, why is this taking so long? I don't understand. But you know what? We don't always know his ways. And sadly for me, God does not always come down and give us a timeline. Like, it would be so much more helpful if he did. If he said, you know, this is going to be a tough trial, but I just want you to know it's going to last exactly 6 months, 3 hours, and 4 minutes. I mean, then we would just check off our calendar. The problem is with some of us, we would like not seek God the way that we should because, man, I still got 3 months. You know, God, I'm still going to be going through this trial for 3 months anyway, so I might as well just, you know, trudge through it. You know, God has reasons why, and it's his ways are always perfect. And so he doesn't always give us the timeline. But God always has the best plan. God can use us to intersect others. When we, God's people, are listening, He will use us to intersect the hurting. God has done that throughout the ages. He usually uses people. Now, God is God, so He can just reach down and do things. He can send an angel, but often He chooses to send a person. That's why Jesus told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. God didn't send angels to go and preach to all the masses, even though maybe they could get every word perfect and always know the right scripture to share. God uses people. Because when we step out, like Christy was talking about, and we allow Him to use us, my mom always says, God is full circle. See, God is not only trying to minister to the person that you're ministering to, He is also trying to train you and teach you and prepare you. And so when we allow Him to intersect our lives with others, then He is preparing us. You know, and if we will just be listening and be open to what God wants us to do, He will allow us to intersect. I saw a lady walking last night, and you know, the Lord had pointed her out to me when I had seen her around town, and I don't know her. I've never met her, but I just started praying for her because I had seen her at multiple places. And so last night I saw this same lady walking down the road, and I just kind of felt like I need to pick her up. I didn't tell Rick this so he wouldn't freak out, but you know, he trusts me. He trusts me if I said it's God, and I wouldn't do it, you know, unless it's God. But I felt like it was the Lord because she was way tinier than me anyway, but not that that matters, but I'm just saying, you know, she was walking, carrying this big old bin of heavy stuff. And so I was actually headed to the church. And so I just kind of did a U-turn and turned around and went and pulled up beside her. And I said, hey, do you need a ride? She said, yes. And so, you know, she hopped in the car and I took her down the road, which wasn't that far. But I thought, you know what, God, I have been praying for her. And the Lord intersected her life. I don't know what He's going to do with that relationship, but I am willing and I'm praying for her by name. And so the Lord very well might want to use me to share His love with her. And maybe just by being obedient to drop her off at her house, the Lord's going to give me another opportunity later because we exchange names. So the next time I see her, I will greet her by name. I'll say, hey, and we'll talk. And I'll say, how you doing? You know, and the Lord will open that relationship. We as God's people have got to stop being so busy doing our stuff that we don't have time to allow the Holy Spirit to intersect us with people. A lady at Winter Jam told a story, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but there was a Korean orphan that a Swiss nurse was passing her, and she was on a garbage heap because her mother had abandoned her. And she was 7 years old. And the lady that told the story said that normally the Swiss nurse that would go to the garbage pile and pick up babies because there were a lot of babies that this was in the 1950s and 60s in South Korea. And a lot of the babies were, just abandoned at that time. And so they would pick up babies because that's what they would care for in their clinic. But she said she saw her and she knew that she was dying. And she said she went to move on just because she was looking for a baby. And she said that the way that the nurse told it was that her legs wouldn't move. And all of a sudden in South Korea, the Swiss nurse heard in her native tongue, she is mine. And so she picked that girl up and she took her to the clinic. And then the clinic took her to an orphanage. At that orphanage at 9 years old, an American couple came in. They came in to adopt a baby. But she said, I was excited for them to adopt a baby because I thought it's good for a baby. She had been through a lot in her life, and she thought it would be good for a baby to go to this American's home. But she said, the man all of a sudden came up to her, and she said, he got down as far as he could because he said, of course, she was a little girl. And she said he looked like a Goliath of a man. And he got all the way down as far as he could. And he put his hand on her face. And she said she hadn't felt love in so long. She said, but I didn't know how to react. So I did the only thing I knew to do. And so I yanked his hand off my face and I spit on him. And she said, I thought the orphanage lady was going to, you know, she didn't know what she was going to do. But the next day, The couple came back and adopted her. They went through the process to adopt her. And she was telling this story as a grandmother. What if that couple had said to God, God, we came for a baby. You told us to adopt a baby. She said, when they adopted me, she said, I had lice in my hair, I had worms in my stomach, and I had one eye that wandered because of all that she had been through on the streets before. Do you know that God doesn't choose us because we have it all together? He doesn't choose us because we always look perfect or because we always do all the right things. He chooses us because he created us and we are his. But we have to make the choice to let him do the work in our lives. My last point is God can redeem. The word redeem means to repurchase what has been sold, to regain possession of a thing alienated by repaying the value of it to the possessor. God can redeem things when we choose to submit to his plan. Obedience to God is releasing control. And we as adults especially, and even as teenagers, we like to be in control. And it's a hard thing to release control. But let me tell you, Christianity is all about releasing control. You cannot walk in right relationship with God if you refuse to release control to him. Because Christianity is about surrender. And it's about taking up our cross and following him. It's about following the shepherd and doing what he calls us to do. We can only grow to the level that we're willing to submit to him. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee. When we refuse to submit to God, we put a cap on our growth and start doing things our way. In the world's way of thinking, that's a good thing. Oh, good for you. Learn how to do it your own way. The world tells us to do things our way. God tells us to do things his way. And so we have to do things different. In God's kingdom, servanthood, Jesus said, is the way to be great. Not independence. Matthew 23:11-12, Jesus said, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Our goal has to be not to get better at doing things our way, but to become better at submitting to his way. That's the only way that we can grow as Christians. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Proverbs 18:32 that I read earlier said, he makes my way perfect. The word way means course of life or mode of action. It means a form or manner of expression. It means a possible, customary, or preferred way of doing something. It means a manifestation, form, or arrangement of being. In all of our ways, in all of who we are, in all of our actions, in all of our form of expression, in all of our preferred way of doing things, that we seek to acknowledge him. Acknowledge is a big word, which means know, that we seek to know him. Because if we want to make him to make our way perfect, then we have to stay submitted to his way of doing things, his arrangement of being. Because he can even redeem from the pit. God can redeem. Psalm 103 verse 4 in the Holman Christian Standard says, he redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. No matter how we end up in the pit, God can redeem us from there. Whether we are in a physical pit or an emotional pit, God can redeem us. The more that we surrender to him, the more that he works through us. Without surrender, we are left to try to do things the best that we can. And sadly, I feel like a lot of Christians try to live this way. They refuse to surrender and submit, so they just try to be a Christian as well as they can. The problem is Christianity was never designed to be a do-it-yourself. It was never designed to try to do the best that we can. It was meant to be a partnership where Christ lives in us. That's why Paul wrote in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's about us surrendering and submitting to his way. When we surrender, we can grow so much more because we're working in his ability. And I want to finish with this scripture. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Notice both people are mentioned in this verse. Now to him who is able to do. Who is the him? It's talking about God. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But then it says, according to the power that works in us. So we submit to him and his power works in us. And he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. My dad pastored for many years. But if you would have told him as a teenager that he would have been a pastor, he would have said, I'm not even sure that I'm going to graduate, you know, much less go to college. He went to college at 26 years old. He graduated at 30 and started basically all over with his life. I mean, they had a service station. They were doing their thing, but God called him out of where they were. And if you ask my dad, he said, you know, I believe that I am a one talent person, but he gave every bit of that talent that he had to the Lord to use. And so when we offer what we have, God can multiply it for his kingdom and use us. He is able to work his power through us to do way beyond we could even ask or think, because he can intersect our lives and he wants to use us to intersect in the lives of the hurting because he can redeem. You know, Christy admitted that she never saw herself doing some of the things that God has her doing. I am actually like non-confrontational and talking to people that I don't know can be very scary for me. But I found that as I am obedient to God, he stretches me and he teaches me and he strengthens me. And he has allowed me to do things that I would have never seen myself doing because of his power. God believes in life. He believes in the life of little babies before their mothers see them and their fathers see them. He believes in your life, wherever it is, whatever's going on with you right now. And he has a plan. That's something that a lot of times it almost becomes cliche. God has a plan for your life. And so we can almost begin to go, oh yeah, I know God has a plan. No, God has a plan. Like he has a perfect plan that if we will just listen and choose to walk in submission and surrender and obedience to him, he can work out his plan in our lives and do great things in our lives. And so I want to invite you this new year into a new way of living. Instead of trying to figure things out for yourself, begin seeking to know God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It doesn't say in all your ways, try to figure things out. In fact, it says quite the opposite. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Many times the things that God tells you to do will be contrary to what your mind is telling you makes sense. If my dad had went by what made sense, he never would have sold his service station, which was providing a living for him and his family, and set off to college when he wasn't even sure that he would be able to get in. God intersects our lives because he wants to do great things and accomplish great things in us. So, Abram started by following God's plans at 75. So what am I saying? God can teach an old dog new tricks. We never are too old for God to begin to do new things in us. But we have to be willing, just like Abraham was. So are you growing by submitting to him and choosing his way? I want to ask you to make a decision today. Christianity is not about hearing the truth and then ignoring it. God brought you here today, I believe, to hear this message. And so what you do with that is your choice. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means if you make him the supreme authority in your life, God, I don't know even how to do this, but God, I am willing. If you will teach me, I am willing to live your way. And believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. So if you want to make a choice to follow and acknowledge him, I just want to ask you to bow your heads. And I just want to lead us in a prayer. Many times we need to make a recommitment, or we need to make a first-time commitment to really surrender to live God's way. So if that's you, I just want to invite you to pray this prayer. Just say, Father, I repent for choosing my own way. I ask you to forgive my sin. I surrender my life to your will and your way. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay so that I could have a relationship with you. Please lead my life as I offer it to you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.